This is Pastor Nicholas Schindler with Redemption Railroad Ministries. We are a ministry devoted to the teachings and the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And we believe that God has a special blessing for you today. For our listeners and those who will be listening by via social media, Facebook, and other means, we welcome you today to this broadcast, and the title of today's message is When We Pray and How to Be Effective in Prayer. How many of us know that prayer changes things? And if we take time to get on our prayer closet, if we take time to pray and to meditate on the Word of God, that God will begin to do something incredible in our lives. Amen. Now, many preachers talk about prayer and the importance of prayer, but what's not given is how the layout of how to pray and how to do this in a way that produces results. I believe God wants His people to produce in everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we do, everything we set our hands to, that God would not, it's not God's will that He would have us idle, or that our prayers go idle or unanswered and unheard without results. It'd be a pretty empty prayer life. So with that being said, I want to invite you on a journey with me today and with our ministry to see what the Word of God says for a formula and a format of how to pray and get results. And I'm not talking about tomorrow results or a week from now results or, you know, 2-3 years results. I'm talking about now results. I believe we serve a now God. I believe we serve a now deliverance kind of God, a now healing kind of God, a now breakthrough kind of God. And I believe that we believe the same. If you're listening to this, I believe the Holy Spirit has drawn you to this podcast and to this broadcast and to this station for such a time as this to be able to engage yourself in what you believe and what you're able to touch and agreement on, which is that a now answering, prayer answering God. So the Bible has a lot of lessons and a lot of teachings, and Jesus gave us this format on how to pray effectively, how to bring God's kingdom to earth, how to talk to God in a manner that is appeasing and appropriate with reverence, and also to produce change in the Christian's heart and the Christian's life. Now, this word comes out of Luke chapter 11, starting off at verse 1, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased," as he is Jesus, "one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray." You know, we need to be taught how to pray. If we go and we start driving, somebody needs to teach us how to drive. If we start a new job, somebody needs to teach us how to efficiently and effectively do that job in a manner that is pleasing not only to the company but to our boss, and also produces results for the consumer. Well, we want to take the same format and the same principles and apply it to the Word of God, and in this case to our prayer life, so that we can see effective change in our community, effective change in our lives, effective change in our finances, effective change all the way around. How do we see immediate and effective change? We see it through the format that Jesus laid out. In verse 2, he says, he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name. Realize the sovereignty of the God that you're speaking with. Realize who you're talking to. If you go to an interview and you go and you take your resume and all your work experience and all your college degrees and your high school diploma and everything, you bring it to the table, you're trying to get this new job and this new career with benefits or whatever, and you go to the person that is there in human resources looking over everything, and they're looking at you as a potential hiree, and you expect that you're going to be able to start working for this company and be able to take home a paycheck. Now, let's look at how you go in to that job interview. If you go in and you're not dressed to the nines and you don't have respect, you don't have a certain level of decorum with the person that you're getting ready to interview, chances are you're not going to get that job. So how you approach that first initial meet and greet is essential to whether or not you're going to get hired or whether or not, you know, you're going to basically go walking out that door no better off than the what you came in. Prayer works the same way. We have to come to a place where we say, we got to reverence who we're talking to. We're talking about the great I am that I am, the Alpha, the Omega, the one that began, that created the heavens and the earth and all living things and formed us in our mother's womb and gave us purpose and gave us life and, you know, wants to have and behold the blessings of God. So, realize he is a holy God. He is a sovereign God. He is God all by himself. There's nothing that he has to do, but what he does because he loves us and he wants us to have good things. He wants to richly bless our life. The second part is he says, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so on earth. How many of us know that there's no sickness in heaven? There's no death in heaven. There's no famine in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's what we deal with and we struggle with on our daily lives and our daily struggles. That stuff isn't in heaven. And with us engaging with God in through Jesus Christ in prayer, God wants to bring heaven down to earth. He wants to bring the manifestations of the things that are going on in his kingdom into the disciples' life, into the Christian's life, into the believer's life. So recognizing this key factor of the Lord's Prayer or of the Christian's prayer that God gave us as illustration through Jesus Christ to us how we should pray is essential. And I believe if we do that, we'll see heaven come down to earth. We'll see the manifestations of God in our life like we've never seen them before, because we're recognizing, okay, first off, God, you are holy, but you are a God that has a kingdom where there's no death, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no want, there's no lack, there's no poverty. And God, I want that kingdom to overtake my life. So as it is in your kingdom in heaven, Lord, let your kingdom come down over my life. Let it take over me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, so that it overtakes, so that the blessings of God overtakes and overshadows my life. That when people come around me, it's done overtaking my life to the point that the people that come around me, it's now overshadowing, so it's actually extending out to them. This is what God wants for us, to bring us to that place in our prayer life where the kingdom of heaven is coming down over the believer's life and is extending outward, that when people can just come and talk to you, they're getting a kingdom encounter and experience because you have spent time with God in prayer and you have grasped the revelation of the Lord's Prayer and how important this format he gave us, and you're practicing it. Thirdly, in the third verse, he says, give us day by day our daily bread, but just supply us the basic needs. God, you already know what it is before we even ask. We're just re-asking you, please just continue to supply according to your riches and glory. And he will do it. He will do it. In verse 4, he said, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, when you come to God, you've got to let the old baggage go. You've got to let the old hurt and the old pain and the old bitterness of how maybe people have wronged you, and you've got to be able to forgive. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, how much more so will your Heavenly Father not forgive you? Our contingency of getting what we receive in our prayer life and in our prayer closet is contingent upon how we forgive others, even our salvation. You know, we can miss heaven if we don't forgive one person. We got to forgive everybody. Jesus paid too high of a price for us to pick and choose who should come to the kingdom of God or who shall partake of the tree of life. So we can't not forgive ourselves, let alone somebody else. So we have to forgive. The Bible actually says if you bring your offering before the Lord and you find that you have aught with your brother, to leave the offering there, go and be reconciled with your brother that your prayers might not be hindered. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayer life. It will hinder your access to the kingdom of God and the blessings of God and the manifestation of heaven coming down to earth and overtaking and overshadowing your life. So I'm going to say it like this, let them go. Let those people go. If there's unforgiveness, I want to encourage you, let them go. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Now, he goes on to further say in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend that shall go unto him in the midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing set before him. So you've got someone that came to your house. You don't really have food enough to feed them, but you go to your neighbor's house. You knock on the door and say, hey, friend, can you loan me this? I'll pay you back on Tuesday. And you went believing to receive something that you could feed your friend, and you're going to pay that back. You know, sometimes we do that in prayer. It's like, you know, we need to do that in prayer, where we go with an expectation of spirit, expectation of mind, and it's expectation that God is going to provide for us. Like that neighbor, you know, he didn't know whether he had 3 loaves of bread, but he went on faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. You're asking in faith, and you can say, God, I need you to provide this, and you need to believe, having already received what you're asking. You're not just going through the motions and saying a whole bunch of words and doing the song and dance and not expecting to receive from God. So believe what you're asking for, you're going to receive it. It's basically you're being able to take that home. You know, it's kind of funny. We work all week for an employer just to expect to take home a paycheck. But what if you went in to go get your paycheck and you went in and they say, well, you know, we know you worked all week, but we're not going to give you a paycheck. That would be kind of messed up, right? But see, you work on faith that you get to the end of that 2 weeks and you're going to be able to take home a paycheck so that you can pay your bills. But the whole time, there's no guarantee that you're going to get that paycheck. And don't just take my word for it. I mean, 2008 and the economic collapse that hit the United States, there was many people who went into their jobs and they'd been working and they had no clue that the business was getting ready to fold. And they went in and they got a last paycheck. And next thing you know, they was unemployed. but they were working on faith, believing that they were just going to continue to work for this company and receive a paycheck. There were some people who didn't even get a paycheck. They came to work and the chains were on the doors. There was a foreclosure sign on the door. And it was like, wait, what happened? Where's my paycheck? I got bills to pay. Well, why don't we do imply the same things that we do on our job and in our day-to-day life with prayer? Some might say it's a faith issue. Some might say, well, it's a lack of reality because we can't see, we can't feel, we can't touch God. I beg to differ. I can feel the Lord's presence when I'm in prayer. If you're praying effectively and there's nothing hindering you, you will feel the peace that surpasses all understanding. You will feel the joy of the Lord. You will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's like He'll put you in this cocoon of this safety, and you'll feel this overwhelming atmosphere of love and joy and peace that the world didn't give you and the world can't take away. And it's a blessed place to be going to the secret place of the Most High God in Christ through the power of prayer. There is power in prayer. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power to change your community, your life, your circumstances, your destiny. You can change the whole trajectory of your life by simply going to God in prayer, by doing the Lord's Prayer and saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Father, you're holy. You don't have to do anything for me, but I welcome whatever you want to do. Let thy kingdom, let your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that my healing can come right now. That my deliverance can come right now. That my breakthrough can come right now. That all my needs be met right now. Jesus goes on to further say in another one of the Gospels, he says, look at the fowls of the air. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap a harvest, nor store their food in barns. But he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, look at the lilies of the field, how beautifully arrayed they are. He says, even in King Solomon, in all of King Solomon's glory, and he was a wealthy man, he was a wise man, he was a wise king, and there's never been one another like him. But yet, Jesus says, even in all of King Solomon's glory, and all of his riches, he wasn't arrayed as beautiful as one of these. How much more so will your heavenly Father clothe you? So the Father knows the need. The Father knows the desire. The Father knows the want. And it's up to us to ask. Many of us, we have not because we ask not. But if we ask God in faith, believing and doubting not, we shall surely receive the good thing that God wants to give us. And that's the beauty of it. God wants to give you good things. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future with an expected end. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm just merely giving you the biblical basis, the foundation of the facts that God wants good things for your life. And there was many years where I wrestled with God. I said, do you want anything good in my life? And it was through engaging in prayer that God ministered to me and spoke to me and let me know. He says, yes, I do. But I'm trying to bring you to a place that you will talk with me. Another thing that we found, I did a discipleship class here recently where I was training these young men to engage with Jesus begin to engage in his prayer life and to receive from the Lord. You know, when we talk to people, we don't talk with a one-sided conversation where one person says a whole lot of words and, you know, and then they don't expect the other person to speak. It'd be a pretty pointless conversation. Well, God wants to commune with his people. You know, we're coming up on a time of Easter Sunday, and many churches in America are going to do the Holy Communion communion, the with the breaking of the bread and the cracker and the cup of grape juice, or the body of Christ which was broken for you, and the cup of grape juice resembles his blood which was poured out for you and for me, and we may have access to the tree of life and we have the gift of eternal life. He says, do this in remembrance of me as often as you think of it, as often as you come together. But there's another kind of communion. God's showed me over the years. He says there's a different kind of communion that I want my people to engage in. Many of us are living powerless lives because we don't have a prayer life. We got out of our prayer closet. We got out of being in communion with God. That word commune is to communicate. It's to open a dialogue between the Christian and the Creator, between the sinner and the Savior, between the redeemed and the Redeemer. You know, the Bible said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Well, let us be bold in prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. You know, if Daniel had not been in a prayer, in a constant state of prayer with God, guess what? Those lions in the lion's den would have surely ate Daniel up. They would have rent him torn before his feet even hit the floor. But when you engage with God in prayer, his hand is going to be upon your life. He's going to protect you. He's going to lead you and guide you in all manners of truth. In the Gospels, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "My sheep will hear my voice. They will know my voice. And another they shall not obey, neither shall they follow thereafter, and then I will call to them by name." Do you know that Jesus knows your name? Do you know that the Holy Spirit knows your name? That when God speaks, he will call you by name. How do I know this? How do you say, you may be saying, "How do you know this, Pastor?" Because I know when I talk to God, God either calls me by name or he calls me a son. And then I'm still baffled to this day. Every time I hear my father say, "Son," I'm like, "Wow, God, you call me a son. Was you back there in the days of my sin? Were you back there in the days where I was running the streets? Were you back there? Did you see the stuff that I've done?" He said, "Yes, I saw you, but I still call you a son because you accepted my son, Jesus Christ. You've been engrafted into the kingdom. We are children of the kingdom of God." But see, you know, it's a strained relationship between an earthly father and an earthly son when the son doesn't want to communicate with the father. Or likewise, the son doesn't want to communicate with the mother. There's a heavy weight for both parties. And those earthly parents, they want to give good gifts to their children, do they not? So how much more so does your Heavenly Father want to give you good gifts? If we can look at the natural and see how things are supposed to work in the natural, they should also work. God has it set up in the kingdom that they work in a similar way, in a similar manner, that God wants to give good gifts to his people. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? I think not. So whatever you ask for, believe that God's going to give it to you. You don't have, beloved, you don't have a God that is so distant that he doesn't know the desires of your heart, that he doesn't know the basic need or what bills need to be paid or whatever it is that you have need of. God wants to move in your life. And you might be saying, "Well, Pastor Nick, how do you know that God wants to move in my life?" Well, the reason why I know that God wants to move in your life is because he sent Jesus to die on the cross. That he who is without sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God through faith in him. That while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. That John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He that believes upon the Son is not condemned, but he that does not believe is condemned already, for he has not believed upon the only begotten Son of God. So if you want to change the trajectory of your life and your circumstances, I challenge you and submit you to go into your prayer closet and begin to pray for your family members. Begin to pray for people that you want to see saved. Begin to pray for people you want to see redeemed. Begin to pray for your boss. Begin to pray for your house. Begin to pray over your finances. Begin to pray for your church. Begin to pray for your country. Begin to pray. You see, we got to get back to a place where we no longer are shutting up the heavens, but we need to open up the heavens. You know, Daniel, when the issue and the decree was made in the during the Babylonian captivity, that law was written where that no man could pray to any god other than the king, lest they should be fed and cast into the lion's den. Daniel, with a boldness, he opened up the shutters which he had done before, and three times a day, with a boldness, continued to pray as he had done in times past. See, sometimes we got to get bold in prayer and say, you know what, even if the law of the land changes, I'm not going to get away from being in contact with the supplier of all my needs. I'm not going to get away from my battery charger. You know, we live in a technological age where everybody's got a electronic device or a smartphone. And if that smartphone goes dead, let's face the facts. You're going to have to plug it into a charger. It's going to have to plug into the wall. It's got to plug into the power source. Prayer is your power source. We have so many Christians in America that are living powerless lives because they're not spending time in God's word and they're not spending time in prayer. But see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And there's multiple ways that you can hear the word of God. You can hear the word of God through reading his word, but also you can hear the word of God through prayer and supplication, and God will speak to you. So, beloved, take this formula that he set, that he put forth in his word, and apply it. It's not enough just for us to be hearers of the word, but we need to be doers of the word also. So, beloved, if you're lost and broken, undone today, and you need direction, go to God in prayer. And lastly, importantly, I was sharing with these young men in discipleship, be receptive, and after you're done speaking, listen, quiet the storm of your heart, your mind, and your spirit, and be still. And stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, and wait and listen. Too many times we're talking at God, and we're not talking to God, and we're not communing with him, we're not having conversation with him, and God wants to have a conversation with you. And when I say a conversation, that means Jesus wants to talk back. This is maybe your first time hearing this. You may have never said, wait, you mean God can speak to me? Yes, God can speak to you. That God, his voice is not just reserved for pastors and prophets. On TBN right now, there's a big series going on. Everybody's talking about tuning into God's frequency. I believe that we need to turn up God's frequency, because right now we've been brought to a place where we've got a lot of static in our lives. We've got a lot of distractions in our lives. And God does not want us to tune in to the voice of the living God. God wants to speak to you, but you have to open the door. I want you to be like Daniel and open the door and say, my Father, which art in heaven, you say that you love me. You say that you'll speak to me. Father, you already know what I need. Let your will, let what's going on in your kingdom overtake my life. Let it be made manifest in my life. Now, Father, I'm just going to shut up. I tell God, God, I'm done talking. Now I'm shutting up. Speak to me, Lord, that I can have direction. Order my steps. Your word says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And Father, but I need you to speak that I can have direction. I call it Holy Ghost GPS. that when the Lord speaks, I'm able to move. I know which direction to take. I pray this word finds you in peace, and I pray that it finds you encouragement. And remember that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. This is Pastor Nicholas Schindler with Redemption Railroad Ministries. I invite you to be a part of what God is doing with our ministry, to get engaged in our Bible studies, to get engaged in our community, to get engaged in your community, but above all, to get engaged with God and commune with Him in prayer, and to begin to receive from God like you never have before. In Jesus' name, Shalom.